I hope you heard what he said this morning of how you can ask Jesus, not verbally, to leave. I hope you heard that. And some of the things he mentioned, and as he said, he could have mentioned many more. Maybe that will be one day, the many more. And how fitting, oh, how fitting was that hymn. Because how you come in here determines whether God has anything to say to you or not. And you will labor the length of the service to keep out distracted thoughts and whatever the wicked might throw at you. It'll be the length of the service in you laboring. Now if you'll turn this morning, first of all, if you just mark Job 38, just mark that. We will get there. Job 38. But I want you to turn when you've got that marked, you to the first chapter of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And if the Lord will help, I want to speak to you this morning on the voice of God in creation. I saw that whoever put up and keeps Mr. Tozer's messages on the web, I saw that he's had 5 or 6 the voice of. I've never listened to any of them, and I don't recall him ever mentioning, and he may have one out there, the voice of God in creation. I don't know. I just glanced through them, but I've never listened to any of them. Maybe I would be wise to stop and listen, but I haven't. So if he's got one, and if I say anything that he said, it didn't come from him. I hope that both of us have the same source of gathering our material, and that is by the direction of the Spirit of God. Genesis 1. And then Genesis 3, just a verse in each of them. But we'll draw the text this morning, or we'll use Genesis 1:14 as our text. Before we read it, though, would you bow with me as we seek the Lord of glory? Our Father, in vain do we meet. If our purpose in gathering is not to hear Thee, not about Thee, though that is needful, but hear Thee. And hear Thy voice, hidden within the pages and confine of 66 little books that You by Thy Spirit inspired men of old. Breathed out Thy Word. But as Paul said, the letter kills. If all we get is a letter, it only has that killing effect. But if by the Spirit you open the book to us, then there is life in that. There is as much nourishment for the spiritual man as there is for the physical when he sits down at the table. There's meat here, at times milk, at times a refreshing wine, cheering the heart of man. It's all contained here, Lord. But it must be the opening our hearts, our eyes, our ears, and giving us the Spirit and setting before us God manifest in flesh. Be kind to these in instructing, and do help the preacher, for it's an impossible task that any of us try of self. Hear us, our Father, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Genesis 1:14, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." Now this is the fourth day, which meant that the light in verse number 3 is different than this light. Lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night. The children, all of you, mark this, at least in mine, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now we can get the days and the years and the seasons. That's not hard for the natural man. But as far as the seasons, as far as the lights and by day and by night, the signs in them we have difficulty getting. Genesis 3:18. The reason we have such difficulty is when God cursed the ground for the sake of the man and the woman, he said, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." You're not going to gather from that which is cursed without labor. And so it is in following and seeking after the Lord. And what you get from the earth always comes from that which has been cursed. Therefore, you ask the blessings of God upon it. Paul said, everything is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So in asking the blessing over the food you eat, it is asking God to remove that which he has cursed where your food is grown. And also some are the ground as reference to our hearts, natural man's hearts. Our Lord said in Matthew 13, third type soil, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns choked out the word of God. And it'll do it in your heart. So, Jeremiah 4:3, break up your fallow ground, unplowed, and come in with prepared hearts, and sow not among thorns. Seven times in two little chapters there in Revelation, our Lord said, he that hath ears, let him hear. Only God can give those. Now, dear children, all of you take time to dress the body. All of you here. What of your heart? Is there any time given in the closet to the preparation of the heart, to the plowing, breaking up the fallow ground, so that the seed, the word of God, does not fall on hard soil, paths trodden down by the foot of man and beast walking across the field? Break it up. Do you spend, I won't say as much time, because I doubt that being a possibility, but I'll just ask you, do you spend time getting the heart right to sit down? If you come in with 100 things on your mind, it's so crowded, you can never get into what's being said. And you let one thought linger, and you don't immediately rid yourself of it and begin thinking on whatsoever things are true, honest, of good report, containing virtue in them, then that one thought, you begin to dissect it, and you'll turn it over and over in your mind, and from that one little thought that you ought not to have let lingered, then it will produce a multitude of thoughts. And the thoughts will have grandchildren. You won't even know a day or 2 days later where you started and what brought about all this confusion in your mind. We're all so used to television. And any of you here can sit down and whether it be a movie or whatever, you can immediately get into that movie without any preparation. And during it, your mind can drift throughout this, that, and the other, yet you'll never lose the plot of the movie. That's not true with spiritual matters. That's why there must be a determined focus here and constant labor on your part, sitting here, to not let the word of God fall on crowded, overgrown, unplowed, unbroken up ground containing thorns. And we all get them. Throughout the week, we pick them up. If you don't labor here with that focus and constant labor on your part, you're going to walk out empty. Now, God said, And immediately it was accomplished. I'm going to put a light up there to guide the day, and a light up there to guide the night. Let there be lights in the firmament. And that literally means the vault above this old earth, supporting trillions and trillions of tons of water right above our heads, all across this old, above this old globe, in the firmament of heaven, or in the air above, the abode of the stars. That's the heaven where God set the two lights. God dwells, and that's, God's everywhere, but the immediate presence of God is in the third heaven. So when the soul ascends to God, it passes through the first heaven. And whatever's the second, into the third. Now God put them up there to divide the day from the night, but God said to you, I want them to be signs. Our Lord rebuked the hypocrites. He said, you look at the setting of the sun, or you look and you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't even discern the time in which you're living. You can't get that. You can determine the type of weather. Well, the sun is setting this color, therefore tomorrow's going to be fair. God put them up there for signs. But it's more than signs for you to determine the weather. It's for you to see spiritual things. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Before, we've lost that. We look into the heavens now and we just see birds and the sun and the effect of the wind blowing, but we don't get above that. Romans 1 that I've quoted a multitude of times here, the invisible things of Him are clearly seen from the creation of the world, being understood. The invisible things of Him being understood by the things that are made. And you look at all that God made, and it's to carry you beyond the outward of what you see and the effect of what that is upon you. And it's to display His Godhead. And then God said, okay, that's verse 20. And then He says, all of you are without excuse. You got the wind blowing that is a type of the Spirit of God. You got the rain falling, which is a type of the Word of God falling on your hearts. Now, after Job's devastating loss of all things, and then ever how long it is from Genesis 1 from Job 1 to Job 38. I don't know that period. But all the attacks of Satan. And then, friends, and I'll put that in quotation marks because they weren't. If ye were upright, they said to him, He would awake for you. Job said, you're all forgers of lies, physicians of no value. You've walked in here, and instead of helping me, you've only condemned me. And you've lied. Now, folk, I know that in Job 42, God said to those three men that came, "You haven't spoken to me rightly like my servant Job has, but you cannot find one thing that those three men said about God that wasn't right. They just misapplied, and they looked at the situation, and they were judging the events that had taken place in the life of Job from a natural and religious standpoint. And at best, they were only Pharisees." Well, that happened to you because of. And they were great peddlers of this wealth and health and wealth, the gospel. If you were right with God, you wouldn't have these sores. If you were right with God, you wouldn't have lost all your children and all your herds. And if you were right with God, your wife would not have said what she said, curse God and die. They tell you if bad things happen to you, it's because of your sin. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as something bad happening to you. Not in God's sight. God never sends anything bad to the children. Now, at first, it'll get you. And there'll be some devastating times that it'll knock you flat on your face. But God sent it for your good. It doesn't seem like it. The heart is aching. You suffered loss of whatever. Friends supposedly have turned their backs on you because you walk the straight and narrow. It'll get to you. But all your feet are planted firm enough in the gracious kind goodness, mercy, and love of God. And you won't be so quick to think of the bad. And you'll think of Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Now, after a long period of absence, again I say I do not know from Job, from Satan's attacks in Job 1 to Job 38, but after a long period of silence and absence of the Lord's presence, he returns. Now that'll take us to Job 38. Job 38. And where this started and has been on my mind for over a week is the two stars that God mentioned in verse 31, Pleiades and Orion. But I just don't see any way to get down to that where my thoughts have been. But now, verse 38. You've got 37 chapters where God has had nothing to say. Then the Lord, verse 1, answered Job out of the whirlwind, storm, or tempest, and said, "Folks, one of the kindest, sweetest times that I've ever known." Well, there have been more than one, but I just say one of the kindest I've ever known was my father's tender rebuke. After a long period of silence, there was no voice in his word, though I looked day after day. There was silence in the closet. My words seemed to fall immediately out of mouth to the floor. But when that silence was broken, and folk, listen, when that silence is broken, it doesn't matter if you're in the midst of the storm. No circumstance seems to matter or disturb the peace within when God speaks. Have you ever known? Be honest with yourself here. The sweetness of godly sorrow at the foot of the cross. And from his wounded side does flow and you. Wherever you are, be it on bended knees, be it upright walking, but there's brought before your eyes the suffering Son of God hanging on the cross. And from that, like that brazen serpent, you're healed. Or you have grieved the Spirit of God, quenched Him, and God's been silent to you for a long time. And then the sweetness of that godly sorrow going to you at the foot of the cross. My circumstances might not change. I mean, Paul was still in the midst of the storm where none of them had any hope of being saved, hadn't seen any light from the sun or stars for over 14 days. And he said, no small tempest lay upon us. But he said, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, saying, fear not. Now that didn't get Paul out of the storm, because they're going to be cast on an island. But the storm left Paul. Fellas, take bread and eat. I mean, the ship was still in the midst of the tempest, and it's going to be broken all to pieces. And there, some of them that can't swim are going to get to shore on broken pieces of board. But when that angel said, fear not, Paul, though the storm raged around and the ship rocked because of the high waves and the strong winds, there was silence, a peaceful silence in his heart. Now that word from the angel didn't deliver him out of the storm, but that word brought peace in the midst of the storm. Now in verse number, let me go on and read verse 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And God said, now gird up thy loins. That's a figurative term used when they were in a race. And they would tie up the skirts, wrap it around their waist, so that they would not be hindered. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of you thee. And I expect an answer when it's all over with. Now for the next four chapters, this one and three more, 38, 39, 40. Yes, God spoke only about creation. Read them. Now when one is confronted by the magnitude of God, evidenced only in visible creation. Folk, consider in our lifetime all that we did not know that was out there. As man has ventured out into space and has spacecraft already having left our solar system, traveling towards a star with light years of travel before they ever get there. We never knew that was there. Consider what we know today, and the expansion of the universe in our own minds, and then look around and our world seems kind of small. Now, those who consider God as the great creator, you're beginning to see I leave them to you for signs. You're beginning to see and think how large, how great and infinite God is. How far does space go? I don't know. Does it have an end? I don't know. I know this, that it all is within God. He's outside all of it. Consider how much larger our world, just the United States of America, is. This landmass, consider how much larger the world is now compared to 1492 when Columbus began his journey across the Atlantic. They didn't know what was out there. Some said, don't, you're going to come to the end of that water and fall off. And how this old earth has expanded in man's mind. If all you knew was the continental 48 states, that's all you know. All you got to do is in the night season look up. Just get out there and lay under the stars. I wonder how far off they are. And then God's out there at the same time that God's down here with you, looking at signs that He's put there. But folk, the sad thing today, even in the evangelical churches, is we've enclosed God within the bounds of 66 little books. We put Him in here. What are the giants, men and women throughout the Old Testament, that didn't have a Bible? How'd they know God? How'd they see His greatness? Now, they say, if you know what's contained here, then you know God. No. That could be true, but it's far from being true to every individual. But you know what we've done? We've even enclosed God more than within 66 little books, and we've tried to fit a God into our own mind or thinking. And the average God served today is that small. Just the part conceivable in man's thinkings. Man's thinking. Folk, get beyond your mentality and begin trying to see God outside all creation. Folk, listen, there's a vast difference in knowing about God and knowing God. The latter is eternal life. Just the former, knowing about God, will be eternal damnation. Had I settled down just to know about God using only my Bible, my theology might have grown somewhat. But God's so much greater today than the one I knew 50 years ago, because I have not limited God to this book, to our world. How many worlds are out there? I don't know. How many angels? I don't know. And God's above all. But I begin trying to see God not only in the heavens, but seeing God in the small droplets of water. I gave you this, and I don't remember, but if an inch of rain fell all at once on an acre of ground, it was up into the tons and tons and tons of weight. I figured that when I was mentally capable of doing that. Now, you probably could do that today by searching Google, probably. You can. Fiddle. You can find anything. But God didn't. God pours it out in just little droplets. And on the tender herbs of the field, it's a gentle rain. But on the maturing saints, there's that former rain and that latter rain that brings in the crop and then matures the crop. Looking at the droplets of rain and the birds, and all the flowers out there. You can even go to the little ants, thy sluggard, and consider her ways, or the bees. I've given away several copies of Hawker's book. The one I got, I don't know how many years ago, or the second one maybe, it's got a purple covering with a flower and a little bee on that flower. And all the significance of that to me. You got a light on the flower to draw the nectar like that little bee. And that hummingbird's got to draw all that sweet nectar out of that flower. We're just too busy. We read a verse and we've read a verse. Just park on it for a while and see if you can draw some of the sweetness out. And folk, please don't ever think that either in this book or creation that you have the mentality to think your way to God. You can't do it. Natural man receiveth not the things of God. Neither can he know it because they're spiritually discerned. Though creation has a voice, it's the sun, the moon, the stars. And God explains all of them as you read on into the book. You've got to have a heart to receive. And you've got to have the Spirit of God to teach. Look at David in the 8th Psalm. David had only a portion of Scripture. May not have even had that at the time. Psalm 8. Verse number 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. David looks up, considering the vastness of God's creation. Then David looks down. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why do you take notice of us, Lord? And the Son of Man, that thou visited him. Why, Lord? He saw how great God was. And the bigger you see God, the smaller you are in your own estimation. I despise people walking around in pride and arrogance. I know it all. Those know nothing. Now in chapter 38, verse 3 that I read, God said, I will demand of thee and answer me. Now, chapter 42 in Job, and this is the last. Job 42. All these chapters of God just talking about his creation. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, thou wilt speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust, ashes, sackcloth, tears. I see how great ye are. I've uttered things foolishly. I repent. I abhor myself. And he got that all due to the voice of God's creation in his soul. I want it. Ask you to turn. I said that would be the last. But let me read. This is in Jeremiah. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heaven. And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasure. And Jeremiah's looking at all this, and he said, every man is brutish in his knowledge. God brings the wind and the rain out of his treasures. And Jeremiah sees himself all due to God's voice in creation. Verse number 11 in Job 38. God's talking to Job about his decree to the seas, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Proverbs 8, he gave the sea his command, that the waters could not pass over his commandments. You can go this far. It doesn't matter who says or who does what. They're limited. Even the storms. God said, you can go that far. In verse number 12, he spoke of the day spring. That is the morning light. He said it knows its place. Now, folk, who of us look at the sun and begin to think of Psalm 19, that bridegroom coming out of his chamber, making his journey through the sky, and one day that evening sun is going to sink in your life. And the only thing of importance is knowing God and what you carry from here with you to Him. Verse 15, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. They're not going to see these things. They're not going to know these things. Verse 22 and 23, I'll close here. God questioning Job, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle? How often did God use hail to defeat armies? Use hornets to drive out nations? How often? And yet we've got such a small God. We cut out, made him from our own mental perception. And we've got him on a mantelpiece there in the house, our minds. God said, I control the snow, the hail, the hornets, the wind, the tempest of the sea. I control it all. And God put everything out there for a sign. Not that you can determine summer and winter, fall or spring, or determine rains on the way, but that you can see God in all things. Begin trying to see Him larger than what you now do. Think, what is it? Think outside what? The box? Think outside. Religion's fixed a box. No, when it comes to God, and then no bar's been built. Begin looking at God. In the book, in creation, in providence. And it'll surprise you. It'll amaze you. And you'll see self, and it'll humble you. But you become a worshiper, a lover of He who has done so much. I think correct would be of Him, but I'm not proficient in the English, so may the Lord bless you and give us all a greater insight into His being.